Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us.
Good morning. Thank you for listening to the radio program. It's brought to you by the members of the Main Street Church of Christ. We meet at 240 West Main Street in Mount Sterling, Kentucky. We meet Sunday mornings beginning at 10 o'clock for about a two-hour period of worship in which we engage in a cappella singing. We have prayers. We give as we've been prospered. We have Bible classes. We have sermons. Just a time to be built up in the most holy faith. And then Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, we normally have our Bible study, but every last Wednesday of the month, we have a period of singing for 1 hour. We have a number of capable song leaders, and they pick songs, or the members choose certain songs, and it's a good time to express our thanksgiving to our God through these songs. Also, we can be reached by visiting our website, mountsterlingchurch.com. I'd like to look at a familiar passage of Scripture in the Bible. It's in John chapter 8, and verse 1. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again to the temple. All the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery, and placing her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say?" This they said to test him, that they might have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. And as they continued to ask him, he stood up and said to them, "Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her." And once more he bent down and wrote on the ground. But when they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the older ones. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus stood up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go. From now on, sin no more." There are a number of lessons that we could get from this passage of Scripture, but I'd like to focus on the part where it says that Jesus said, "He who is without sin, let him cast the first stone at her." And we're told that they went away one by one, beginning with the older ones. And then Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Why did they leave? They recognized that they had sinned. Their conscience was working. Even though they were antagonistic toward Jesus and trying to find any way to bring a charge against him, their conscience, or that inner feeling or voice that all of us have been given, caused them to realize that they could not cast that stone. So the conscience is this feeling or voice that views our actions, and it is a guide to whether that action that we engage in is right or wrong. There is this sense of moral goodness or something that is blameworthy. We are thankful for our consciences, or at least we should be. Some people can do things and they have a clear conscience. Others have a guilty conscience. The Bible tells us that the Gentiles did not have the advantages that the Jews had. But they did have one thing that God had left them with, in addition to his care for them in the realm of nature. There in Romans chapter 2, Paul would say in verse 14, "For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do what the law requires, they are a law to themselves, even though they do not have the law. They show that the work of the law is written on their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness, and their conflicting thoughts accuse or even excuse them on that day when, according to my gospel, God judges the secrets of men by Christ Jesus." So have you often wondered, as I have, about the Gentiles who did not have the Old Testament law, who did not have the true knowledge that the Israelites, the Hebrews, the Jews possessed? But he said they have a conscience. And the conscience is very important to us. We'll look at some passages to talk about that. The Hebrew writer talks about the fact that the blood of bulls and goats and the sprinkling of a defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh. This is the old law. He says, "How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" We continue to look at Hebrews chapter 10. It talks about the law was a shadow of good things to come, instead of the true form of the realities that will be in place when Jesus comes. So this law and these sacrifices could never, it says, "all they are continually offered every year make perfect those who draw near. If they had been made, if they could make perfect those who were drawing near to God, they would have ceased to be offered. Since the worshipers have once been cleansed with no longer any consciousness of sins. But the sacrifices were a reminder of sins every year, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin." Then Jesus comes. And in Matthew 26, verse 26 beginning, where he institutes what we know as the Lord's Supper, he would talk about his body, his flesh, and he would talk about the blood. He says, "This is the blood of my covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." This is when he took the cup that they had been drinking during the Passover meal. And we need forgiveness of sins. We need to have a consciousness that our sins have been forgiven. Peter, in Acts chapter 2, would tell his audience there, and these were men from all over parts of the world where Jews had been scattered. They were there for the Feast of Pentecost. And Peter, along with the other 12 who had been chosen to be apostles, were inspired to speak a message that was true, and it convinced men in the audience that they had crucified their Messiah. They had crucified Jesus the Christ, the Son of a living God. And when they cried out, "What can we do?" or "What must we do? Is there any hope for us?" maybe they're saying, Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to as many who are far off, as many as the Lord will call." And the Lord is calling through the gospel. And what we are doing when we are listening to the Word of God, when we are obeying from the heart the teachings of Christ, we can have our consciences cleansed. Peter talks about that in 1 Peter chapter 3, and you can read there, where he talks about the flood and talks about how the world basically was destroyed by water, but those who were in the ark were saved by water. And he would say baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as the removal of the dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Do you want to have a good conscience? Do you want to be able to say, Lord, I have done all that you've asked me to do. I may not understand it all, but I will do it. The Roman letter, chapter 8, verse 14, Paul says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. For you do not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption by whom you cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You see, when that woman was in the midst of all those people who were going to be witnesses against her, she had no hope. Jesus, when he got up, looked around, and no one was there but him and her. And it took two witnesses for a sentence to be carried out under the old law. And Jesus was the only one. And he told her the same thing he would tell all of us, I believe. Go and sin no more. And that's our hope, that we will obey the teachings of Christ. May not understand them all, but if you obey from the heart, if you confess your faith with your mouth, if you repent of your sins, if you have this belief that leads you to do these things, why hesitate to obey that step that the Bible says we are baptized into Christ? Galatians 3 talks about this, baptized into Christ, and we put on Christ. In Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, Ananias said to Saul, if you read that account, and he said to Saul, why now are you tarrying, or why do you wait? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. The value of baptism is obviously seen when Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He who believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And again in Matthew's account, he said to the apostles, when they were to go into all the world, preach the gospel, baptize them by the authority of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. What a great comfort if we can read that passage of Scripture there in Romans 8, where the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. We are the children of God. Our spirit says, Lord, we've done all you ask us to do. And the Spirit himself is in agreement because he is the one who gave the instructions to us. Paul told Timothy to have a good conscience. Some people don't. In fact, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons through their insincerity of lies whose conscience are seared. They're liars, and maybe they can't tell the truth from a lie anymore. because their conscience has been seared. It doesn't work anymore. It's faulty. It can't distinguish truth from error, right from wrong any longer. It's like a hot iron has branded that conscience, and it's now dead. And that's a danger. That's a dangerous person. And we can become very dangerous people if we do not allow a properly trained conscience, trained by the Word of God, to help us distinguish right from wrong, good and evil, what pleases God and what displeases God. So be thankful if your conscience is working. It can save you a lot of heartache because you do what is right, because you believe what God has said in His Word is the truth. And that truth is what we're trusting in. We're trusting in Jesus' blood. We're trusting in His resurrection. We're trusting in His great power to save. So, appreciate your listening, and just consider how blessed we are to have the New Testament and have our conscience that can be cleansed from these dead works to serve the living God. So for the Main Street Church of Christ, this is Gist Howell. Thank you.
When these like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, Thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is God above, but upon
a gift straight from heaven, a grandmother's love. With hands strong yet gentle, she took part in my raising, constantly praising any good that I had done. Sometimes when she'd hold me, she'd look down at me and say, when I look into your eyes, child, I can see the rising sun.
AM 1150 WMST.